Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Banking Matters. I'm your host, Daniel Baker. For today's episode, we have Heather Smith, Senior Vice President and Director of Consumer Compliance at Forbright Bank. Prior to working with Forbright, Heather spent over 10 years as a compliance officer and a consumer banking risk manager. Heather, welcome to our show.
Hi, Daniel. Thank you for having me today.
We're really excited to have you. And we always like to kind of start out our shows with a simple conversation about how you wound up in banking. Everybody has their own story about how they got to this crazy industry. So Heather, how did you get started in banking?
Sure. Well, actually over 20 years ago, while I was in college, I actually started at a big bank working in customer service. Okay. And I was working for a mortgage company, actually. And the only thing I knew about banking was, of course, how to balance my checkbook, which my parents had taught me how to do. But then that a mortgage was your house payment. And so through working in that in the customer service area and growing along the way into different positions from customer service to mortgage origination to I went into underwriting, so many different things through my career. I eventually landed in compliance at the bank, my former bank, and because of a life change. So just, you know, started a family. And it was just a good move at the time, not realizing that it would, you know, get me more focused into compliance, which is where I've been for probably the last 15 years. And I love it. It's very, very rewarding, I guess.
Oh, that's great. I started out in one of the bigger banks, kind of on the front end side of things as well. So I understand that transition completely. So Heather, in your current role as Senior Vice President and Director of Consumer Compliance at Forbright, what do you find yourself doing? What do you find yourself spending your time on?
So we are, a growing bank, and, I'm here, came in really to build a team, rebuild our CMS, our compliance management system here. So we have been growing the team internally, but also taking the different components of the compliance management system and implementing them. So from consumer complaints to our training program from a compliance perspective, we've been really focused on building out the different programs in a true risk culture here at Forbright.
Okay. Well, if you don't mind, I'd actually love to, that's a perfect transition. I'd actually love to start with compliance management, if that's all right with you.
Oh, sure.
So for your CMS, you said that you're really developing your program, establishing it. What are you doing? So, I mean, you walked into your job day one, it's a new bank, new process, new procedures. What are you doing? What are you looking at?
So looking at our policy, our CMS policy as a whole, and the different, just kind of looking at who has been doing what, who is doing what, and really refocusing on the required elements. So what is the examiner going to look at? What are they looking at to ensure that we have as part of the CMS? So we started out with just, again, a new policy. So mm-hmm. re-implementation of a policy and building out, starting with, you know, board and management oversight. So we one of the first things we did was create a compliance committee here, which I chair, and mm-hmm. meeting very regularly with the lines of business to do a deeper dive into different compliance and regulatory topics. You notice my title is consumer compliance. Mm-hmm. It doesn't necessarily mm-hmm. restrict me to consumer regulations right. or consumer products, right. but just it's an oversight of the consumer protection. And so we really went in and looked at so the board of management oversight, our training, as I mentioned, complaints, and then doing a gap analysis to see where we needed to implement other regulatory policies and programs.
So what kind of what kind of things did you see on that gap analysis? So you say you're conducting a gap analysis, like how are you conducting that analysis? What kind of feedback are you seeing from it?
Sure. No, it's actually been very, very good feedback, especially from the bank here. You know, we're building a risk culture. We're building the ability to identify within the first line of defense, you know, different components of their day-to-day functions. And so it's been really, it just gives you a really good sense of accomplishment when you mm-hmm. can go in and help them to build something such as, and I'll use complaints as a really good example. You know, that's something you can come in and really focus on first and say, you know, how is this being done today? And where do we need to go to get this to a best in class type of service? And so we went through the process of looking at how complaints were being collected, how they were being monitored, reported. And then we've just really built upon that over the last probably 3 months in getting that to a good place of internally collecting, monitoring, and hopefully getting to next step is really getting into some good metrics.
Okay. So when you say internally monitoring, have you assigned this to like a specific individual? Is it part of your compliance department? Like what are we talking about there?
It is. So actually, so today it is part of the compliance team. So we are, have a fair and responsible banking officer that mm-hmm. works under me and overseeing the complaint program. And we've built an internal system to collect those, to collect the complaints as they're coming in. And so then that internal system has the ability to then, you know, churn out some metrics, different reporting so that we can go in not only to validate that complaints are getting closed in an appropriate time, that they're getting addressed, but also to look at, you know, doing a root cause analysis. You know, do mm-hmm. we have any trending? Do we have any other areas that we need to focus on differently that may result in a future issue of sorts?
So talk to me a little bit about this internal system then, because if we can do that, you said that you built it. Are you using like the starting point of a third party, or did you start from scratch? Like, what is this? Is this like Excel sheets? What are we looking at here?
We're using we use Jira internally, okay. And it's a workflow. So it's a workflow system, and so we built it out. It's very customizable in the way that we were able to customize it to gather all of the different data elements that we'd like. It can track through different processes or phases of the process, I guess you'd say. So going from, you know, open to close to a validation standpoint as well, where we can monitor that internally. And again, that's where we get into timing. So looking mm-hmm. at the timing of open to close, and the topics. It has the ability to import as well. So we're looking at, you know, when you deal with third parties, how can we import data from any third party vendors that may be collecting complaints on our behalf as well.
So really it's just kind of like a ticket tracker, right? Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Perfect. Yeah. That's what we started out with.
Yeah. I mean, it's a great place to start because you've got to have that foundation in order to be able to produce more. So from that point, you say that you're looking for monitoring some specific elements and some specific items. What kind of things are you tracking? What are those metric points that you're looking for?
So we're looking at the number of complaints that are going to come in, source. Mm-hmm. So are they coming in from a certain branch maybe, or a certain, is there a certain product that we may be seeing more conversation about? And looking at it from that perspective to then do a deeper dive and say, you know, do we have something, is there something more underlying here mm-hmm. that we need to research with the line of business?
So then what happens next? So let's say the metrics have identified that you've got a branch that's just generating consistently negative results, negative responses. How do you address that?
So we have a issue management. So that's another component that we've also implemented through the CMS implementing anything that rises to the level of an issue. Mm-hmm. And it would go in, we would track it that way. And so we can track it from beginning to end. So when that root cause is identified, putting an action plan into place to further identify if work needs to be done or if processes need to be changed. And again, that would go into working closely with the line of business to get that opened and closed, reported appropriately, and the likes.
So whatever the specific issue is, you'd reach out to that line of business, you'd rope them into the process, and you'd establish your action plan, how you're going to address the issue and kind of proceed from there. Is that what I'm hearing?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yep. Perfect. So then, at what point does the board get involved, if at any, with the complaint process? How do you involve the board in this?
So we have the, at first, we do monthly reporting through the compliance committee.
Mm-hmm.
We have metrics that we're reporting on a very regular basis, but on a quarterly basis, we are rising those up to the board level to just identify, let them know about what complaints are being brought mm-hmm. in. And then from there, any type of trending, any type of anything we're seeing a repeat performance in, or products, again, you know, just they have the ability to see where we are in terms of those complaints that are coming in, and then ask any questions or provide any feedback.
Okay, great. So it sounds like you've got that, definitely have worked on developing hard, like a robust CMS program. Is there anything about your specific CMS program that you're like, yeah, I'm really proud of this. Like, we worked hard on this. Like, this is really great. Is there anything that makes it kind of unique from maybe some of your other experiences? Like, 'cause you did work at the other bank as a compliance officer. Is there something that you've implemented that you're like, this is something I really like, that I really appreciate?
Sure. You know, I think, and I'll go back to the complaints again, just mm-hmm. having the ability, you know, in former lives, I've worked with third parties more, where you mm-hmm. were, you kind of out of the box a little bit. So having that ability to really cater what we wanted to do up front in terms of the collection of complaints. And then again, to be able to turn that around into the different types of reporting and the metric reporting that we're looking to do. I think that it might not make us unique, but at least I think, you know, from our program, I think that was something that it was a great way to get the program going. And I say that because I think, you know, any bank, complaints are a great way to understand and see what's going on, mm-hmm. you know, in the day to day. Because sometimes that's the only way you find out sometimes of any issues that might be out there. And so having the ability to really drill down right up front into the information that we wanted to gather was a great win, rather than having to cater to an out of the box kind of solution.
Yeah. And I can totally appreciate that. Just having the ability to identify quicker the issues and everything like that with the tools. Completely agree. Those things are fantastic to have. So I'm going to transition a little bit. I know we've been talking about CMS, but one of our goals of today's episode was we wanted to talk about CRA and strategic plan. So talk to me a little bit about what is a CRA strategic plan. Let's start there.
Sure, sure. So a CRA strategic plan is giving the bank, the regulators give the banks the option to kind of create your own story, create your own goals in terms of CRA as an alternative to going through the various tests of the mm-hmm. lending, the investments, and the services test. So it gives a really great opportunity for the bank to really take what they're good at, or take a strong point that they have, and create your own goals out of it, so that it helps in the long run or that it helps in your next exam mm-hmm. in that process. So setting your own lending strategy, your own investment and services strategy it's a great way to get ahead, I think, of your next exam.
So ultimately, if I'm understanding correctly, a CRA strategic plan, its purpose is to really improve the bank's CRA standing. Is that correct?
Yeah. I think you could, and maybe not necessarily improve, but build upon what you've mm-hmm. already got. So it's a way to just, enhance the existing program, but really cater it to where you may have your stronger points.
Great. And so as I understand it, you are currently in the process of developing, or at the stage of submitting, your CRA strategic plan. Is that correct?
We are still developing it. So it's been a great process of going through, working internally with other partners here at the bank to really craft a draft, kind of where we see ourselves going The next, we're doing a 3-year plan. So looking at kind of what we see ourselves, the growth we're going to go through over the next 3 years.
Okay. So I can't say I directly have a ton of experience with CRA strategic plans, because that's a kind of a specific element of the job and of the business. So how do you come into a situation where you need a CRA or you want a CRA strategic plan? Like what's the background behind it? Like, why are you doing a CRA strategic plan?
Sure. So, and I'll stay specific to us, you know, Forbright, we have a different lending structure in terms of our, we're a commercial bank, but we're also doing other types of lending. And so we were also, this was our, you know, we're transitioning into a large bank at the same time.
Yeah.
So it was an opportunity to really look at the types of lending we're doing, where we're doing it, and, you know, what we've done in the past, and really look at where we see ourselves in the next 3 years. Because, you know, CRA change is coming as well.
Yeah.
And so kind of that little bit of unknown was also kind of part of our decision, and to say, you know, the ability to create our own goals and kind of hold yourself accountable to those goals was a great opportunity for us to, to focus on, you know, our community development lending, for example. You know, take something that we're doing very well in our assessment area, but continue to do very well and hold ourselves accountable to doing that over the next few years.
So then day one, you find out you need a strategic plan. I like starting at day one, because then it takes us through the whole process. So day one, finding out that you need to develop a CRA strategic plan. What does it look like? Are you establishing a team to work with? Like, are you roping in other parts of the industry, like, or not industry, but other branches of the bank? What does it look like?
Sure. We have looked at, we checked in with consultants. We went out publicly, you know, strategic plans are out. They're publicly available. Yeah. So reading a lot of different strategic plans, I know for me was important, because this is my first time doing it. So it's also been a learning experience for me, which I've totally appreciated. But kind of getting the feel for how other banks are, you know, how it's versed, you know, what does it look like? And then next, going out, so we're FDIC regulated, and the FDIC has great resources out there on really what they're looking for as part of that strategic plan. And so we've taken those, the guidance and requirements out there to really structure and put our plan together. Starting and internally, we used a whole team from our marketing all the way to our executives to really take a look at our story, you know, where we are, where we've been, and then where we're planning to go through this plan, through the strategic plan.
Great. And I definitely, I'm all on for, like, all for reading the other bank's strategic plans and everything like that.
Yeah.
In law school, we used to joke around, you know, saying that if you weren't copying someone else's contract or whatever, then you were committing malpractice. So all for, like, take advantage of the
not copying at all. No, just, you know, it is something. I think it's I like reading other people, like other banks. It's almost, you know, is it a conversation or is it more of a legal document that's being presented? So just kind of reading and getting a feel for, again, being the first time going through it, it's kind of seeing how other banks were putting it out there was really helpful. So
then who's spearheading it at your bank? Does that fall under your purview? Are you the one spearheading the strategic plan?
It does. So it's been myself. I've had some of my team, and then our community impact, our director of community impact has also been very instrumental in helping me too, because, you know, she is the outreach for us. So, like, from the services perspective, kind of getting her perspective on what different opportunities we may have, and where we go next. So one of the requirements is having public meetings and kind of meeting with different nonprofits or businesses, realtors in your area to discuss it. So she's been a big help too, with not only going through the plan, but also helping in identifying who those nonprofits and who those others are going to be when we get to that point in the process.
So then who did you reach out to? So you mentioned you have your I apologize, I don't remember the exact title you used for them, but essentially your public outreach, you had your marketing in there, and then you had your compliance department. Was there anybody else you included into that group as you were making the strategic plan?
Sure. We had our executives come in. We had finance. So finance was a big, they were really a big part. I think that, you know, backing into it, that's where you start. As you say, mm-hmm. okay, we want to make X number of dollars in loans. Is this going to, or investments, is this going to be doable? And so getting their input and feedback was very important, very important. And then ultimately, you know, as we, you know, we're still in the process of it, but it will ultimately go to the board for their review and their approval before we are ready to take it to the next step.
Great. So then did this start as like one big meeting that everybody's brought on board, or is this just like small little action committees that you took along the process? How did you handle it?
I went into it with, so we kind of had a draft out there, you know, just different parts and pieces, mm-hmm. and then pulled together the different resources. So, I mean, even down to human resources, it was a large group, just a really legal. Yeah. I mean, just, it really was a group effort at putting this together because, you know, I've only been with the bank. I've been with the bank less than a year too. Mm-hmm. So kind of that history and kind of getting there, I needed the support of a lot of our other departments to kind of help us get to where we're getting, you know, to get to where we are today with where the plan is. But yeah, it was, so I assigned it out and had everyone kind of read it, mm-hmm. make their own edits, and then send it back. And so then you were compiling everybody's responses, everybody's questions and comments, and just putting them into one document and then just kind of starting over again. You know, here's some questions that came up. Here's some facts that we need checking on, different things like that. And so it's just been a continuous process. And then the group kind of got smaller as we finished up with different sections, mm-hmm. But the group changed. And so mm-hmm. it went from, you know, some of our management to more senior management, to have them go through the same process. And so we're wrapping that up now, getting through the final iterations to get to that next phase of going through the board, mm-hmm. and then submitting the plan.
So really you start broad and then kind of just narrowed your scope down a little bit more and more.
Yeah.
So then
very much.
Where you are now, I mean, you're coming up on the finish line, or at least this part of the finish line, I guess you could say, because it's a process, right? So you're coming up on the next stage of this process. What does that look like? So you mentioned submitting it to board. What happens after you submit it to the board? What does this next few steps look like for you?
So after submitting it to the board, we will we'll do a public notice. So you have to publicly communicate, mm-hmm. that you're getting ready to go under a CRA plan. So we're in our assessment area, we're looking at, you know, where we're going to post it, how we're going to post it. And then we'll start to have those community meetings that that we're planning, mm-hmm. with different organizations. I think we've picked 10.
Okay.
And we're going to try to come up with like a questionnaire to really use, so that we're asking the same questions, but making sure the questions are applicable to the individuals that we're meeting with. So the nonprofit or we're going to use real, you know, talk to some realtors and other businesses that are local to the area.
So
And then from there, once we get it's 30 days that it'll be posted out. Mm-hmm. And then hopefully from there, we'll have some, you know, if we need to make any adjustments to the plan, if we have to make any updates based on the feedback, and then we'll kind of take it through the same process again before ultimately providing it to our regulator for their approval,
rinse and
review
repeat.
And approval. Yeah.
So then I gotta ask, knowing what you know now, having been through so much of this process, if you could go back to the you months ago that started this process, what would you do different?
The timeline. I think the first thing I would have done was put together a timeline and to really drill down to it, not what you think it might take internally to get it done, but just really focusing on the external needs that are you really have to get in order to put together this plan. So I think that's where I would restart, because I had the timeline in my head internally, but not thinking about all of the external, like, you know, meeting with the businesses, going out and figuring out, let's see, are we going to post this on our website? Mm-hmm. Are we going to, you know, put this in the newspaper, which newspaper are we going to use? So it was a lot of questions like that. And then from there, you know, you've got the external dependencies at that point, that I didn't work in, I think, as well as I would have, because it's, you know, it's taken, sometimes it takes a little longer than you think. And so that's probably what I would restart with.
Perfect. I think that's a great piece of advice. So my last question is actually going to be a little similar to the one we just had, but in a little bit of a different scope. If you could go back to the Heather 10 plus years ago, just getting started in the compliance industry, or the compliance side of the industry, what would you tell yourself? What would be the advice you'd give to Heather?
It's a wild ride. Get ready for just, it really is. I think, you know, from regulatory change over the last years to, you know, being part of banks that have grown, changes in regulators, mm-hmm. It is really a wild ride. And so it's a great ride. I think, you know, I'm one that I think you learn something new every day. And so I just like to continuously kind of hold myself to that. And so I think that that's something that throughout my career, working with great leaders and just learning along the way, through experience, I think it's just to be ready. That's what I would tell myself.
Take advantage of the chances to learn. I love that. That's great. I really appreciate that. Well, Heather, thank you very much for joining us for today's show. I'd love to be able to continue chatting about this, but unfortunately we are running out of time. We do appreciate you joining us for this episode, though.
Daniel, thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure to be here. This has been a great experience, another learning experience for me. So thank you.
Well, good. I'm glad that we were able to bring you on. For the rest of you, thank you very much for tuning in. And that's Banking Matters.